And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave alongside Joseph J.
Erdo.
Yeah, there you go. And Eric Reinert. Kathleen Osborne.
She's singing to the guests.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, Kathleen was great, by the way, with all of our in-studio guests today. So very big shout-out to very helpful Kathleen. She's always great.
Always great. No question about it. So it looks like you will be taking off.
Yeah, I'm taking off, but I know another great hour of guests coming up with a great guest right now. But thanks Dave and everyone for a great show.
Oh, that was great.
Remember
that was great.
And remember to check out breakradioshow.com. Click on if you click on the Twitter, you can still access those videos of our in-studio guests. So
oh,
if you
that's
follow
cool.
us on Periscope, just do a search for Breakthrough Entertainment or follow us at BreakTHRSports. On Periscope and Twitter, and you can see those archives for the next 24 hours.
Or even go to breakradioshow.com
and
go
click
to
on Twitter.
Twitter.
Yeah, so they're right there. It's excellent.
A lot of good stuff. Okay, Joseph, we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Dave.
Have a great day.
You too.
And go see Raj at the Laugh Factory tonight or tomorrow.
Or tomorrow.
Either one.
Yes, and Eric, I'm going to convince Eric, by the way, to go see Sing.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Anyway, our next guest, really interesting. I started reading his book. I talked to him during the week, and I'd like to bring on right now the author of How to Press America's Reset Button, Sean Burke. Sean, how are you?
I'm good, David. Good morning.
Good morning, and we had a nice talk, a couple days ago, I think it was? Probably Wednesday.
We did, yes.
Fascinating. And I got your book, and I haven't read the whole thing. But I'll tell you, you're a great writer. This was a really good. So far, I'm enjoying everything I've read in this book.
Thank you, Dave. Well, I have to say I wasn't an author when I started this, but I felt I needed to write a book to get the message out that I wanted to communicate, so I became an author. So, I you know, your words are very nice. Thank you.
Well, you're more than welcome, but it's really very, very good. And let's why don't you describe to our listeners what it is that you're doing, first of all, and second, why you're doing it. So first, what you're doing. Second, why you're doing it.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing is I'm driving around the country in a motorhome, branded, wrapped. It's wrapped in stars, and it has the book on the side. And I'm driving around to all over the country. I started in Iowa, went up to New Hampshire, down to South Carolina following the primaries. Primaries have kind of split out, so I'm not really following them now. But I'm sitting in Los Angeles for the moment. We're doing an audio book over the next 4 days. I'm recording it. But my motorhome is sitting in San Antonio, and I will be going back there in a few days and off on the road up through the central part of the country. And the way this started, Dave, as we discussed the other day, a few years ago, I just became so concerned. I'm a father. I became so concerned about what's happening with our country, primarily with the debt, the massive overspending that's happening, and what that will mean for my kids in the next 10 or 15 or 20 years when they're looking to buy homes and in their careers and their family. So I took it to heart. I really felt like as a father I needed to personally do something. Should I go stand with a sign in front of the White House or sign a petition? And I actually did my own research. I was losing sleep, honestly. It really bothered me. And so I did my own research and came up what I consider is America's reset button, kind of stumbled across it, and felt that I was really missing the power of what we can do and decided I needed to write a book. And I started a nonprofit, and all proceeds from the book go to the nonprofit, so no one thinks I'm just trying to get rich off of this. And it's my civic duty, I feel, to go out and try to stir this up because I think we need to change the direction of our country. And you know, this started 3 years ago, and obviously I'm not alone. If you look at what's happening in our country today, obviously there's a lot of people who feel the same way.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, truly on both sides, which is interesting. I find it interesting where you have the Democrat, you know, and the Democrats and the Republicans. Both sides have their candidates saying pretty much the same thing as far as, you know, they get into corruption. They're talking about the rigged system. And a big part of the party is both parties, especially Republican Party, talking about how nothing's been done. I mean, and that's what's interesting about your book. It's like we're hiring people. They work for us in theory, the politicians. and they're like managers, right? And can a business survive the way they're operating? And the answer is no.
Well, and I need to point out everything about me in the book and the nonprofit is nonpartisan. We don't take up parties. And in fact, in the book, I point out that parties were not part of the Constitution. They're not part of our government, and they just formed along over time and have taken over. So if we step outside of the parties for a minute, and let's skip it, because I'll tell you, a lot of Americans are sick of the parties and don't think that they represent them. And so if we step outside of it and look at ourselves, it's our Constitution. It is ours. It belongs to us. We have the ability to change it if we want to. It's there to serve us. And so in the Constitution, we have one right over our government, and that's to vote. We can vote, and we can put someone in place for us to go to Washington and do, you know, represent us, that we're a republic. So in a republic, this is what happens. So only thing we can do is vote. We can't tell them exactly what to say or do in Washington. We hope they'll do what we want them to do, but we can't force them. So the way I looked at it is, look, we're kind of like the board of directors of our country. We're sitting out here. We don't have to be in the day-to-day operations. We're living our lives. Those guys are supposed to go and do things for us so that we can actually continue living our lives and being happy and safe. And so I consider them as management. If we're looking at a structure in a corporation, we're the board, they're management, and they're overseeing the 4 million federal workers that work in the U.S., and they're supposed to do certain things based exactly on our Constitution. And so that's just kind of what I lay out in the book. I feel we're the board, they're managers, and here, what are the results? If we don't like the results, there's absolutely something we can do. And I think what we can do is, if you don't like management, you replace them, and we give someone else a shot. And if those managers don't work, we replace them until they actually get that they need to answer to the board and not to, oh, maybe those special interests or what else out there that they're listening to. They need to listen to us because it is our country. Ultimately, it's ours.
Yeah, and that totally makes sense to me, is if you look at people, either their personal budget or if you're in a business, your business budget, you just couldn't survive with having so much debt with interest, so much interest payments as well. You just couldn't get anywhere. So we don't allow ourselves to do that. We certainly don't try to, at least. Some people end up doing that. But it's never good consequences. It results in bankruptcy or things like that that completely shatter your credit and your credit scores, as well as your ability to do much. So it's a national security threat, I believe, as well, with the debt. So the solution, I guess, is what you're talking about, get people more aware and also get out and vote. So many people really don't vote in elections, do they?
It's unfortunate that we feel that we should opt out if we don't like what's going on. And I'll say in the last election, the midterms election 2 years ago, 140 million people who could have voted did not. And in the presidential election 2 years prior, 110 million people. When you think of those numbers, 110 or 140 million, it's astronomical. And I think there's more this year. Even though a lot of people are being pulled in, right, I've heard from people that they want to stay away. They don't want anything to do with it. And in fact, there was a survey that came out the other day by Rasmussen Reports that said 25% of those they surveyed may actually opt out this election because of what's going on.
Interesting.
And if that's the case, I just want to talk to people who maybe normally don't vote or thinking about opting out and are not strong party members. You have a voice in this, and we can't opt out. If we all opt out, it goes down to smaller and smaller groups of people who control our government that does things for us. We all have, it's all going to affect us. So the opposite, I say the opposite. This is the last thing you should do, is opt out. You get in and you register to vote, and when you go vote, you go in and decide, is my government actually doing what I want them to do? And in the Constitution, there are, you know, some very basic things you can look at to decide. But for you, is it, do I feel like I have liberty in this country? Do I feel like what's happening with our national debt? Do I feel like there's justice? And you can just stand there and decide, nope, I think that I don't like how my managers are running my country, and get rid of them and bring someone else in new. That's how simple it is. You don't have to know who's running. You don't have to know the issues. You yourself, it's your country. You decide, go in and make a decision over who manages your government. I mean, to me, It's simple. It's almost too simple. But I hate to see people sitting out because, honestly, yeah. if 3 million people did this strategy, so many elections are so close, we would start throwing incumbents out left and right around the country. And we could turn Congress over in 2 years. Everybody in the House gets reelected every 2 years. Everybody in the Senate every 6 years. So one-third of the Senate and the entire House this November could be replaced, and they would get the message very strongly that they answer to us and not to others. And that's why I'm on the road. That's all year. I'm on the road until November, driving around the country talking about this. So that's why I'm doing this.
Yeah, it makes sense. Let me bring in one of our other co-hosts from out of state. She loves this topic. So, Tricia, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
All the way from out of state. Say hi
Hello.
To Sean. Sean Burke. Meet Tricia. So,
hi there, Sean.
Hi, Tricia.
Yeah, I've been saying for a very long time, you know, the fact that we're one of the only countries that's stuck with just two parties. And they really have made it so that it's difficult for anybody else to really break through. All they can do is be a spoiler, really, because there's so many puppeteers pulling the strings back there. So, so other than getting out our vote, what else can we do to be able to spread the word, to get people to participate?
Other than to get out the vote, is that what you said, Tricia?
Yes. I mean, we've got to tell people to go out there and vote, but how else can they make sure they're a big part of this, and how can we get them excited and light a fire?
Well, I'll tell you, pitched the book a little bit. Again, it goes to the nonprofit, but people who read the book get enthused. Once you realize the power of the Constitution and it's yours and that you can actually not vote on the party lines, people really wake up. And I've had people write to me and say, I wasn't going to vote this year. I read your book and I'm all over it. And then they start giving the book to others. So the only thing I can say about that is we go down to the basics of what the country's about in the Constitution, and we get off the party, because people get so frustrated that if they vote party lines or they vote for their guy and then the other side votes for their guy, everybody just keeps fighting and we really don't get anywhere. You know, you had a guest on earlier, Dave, who said the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
Keep doing the same thing over and over. If we keep doing this same thing over and over, we're at $19 trillion in debt. This year we're going to be $400 billion in deficit, which somehow I think the government thinks is low, and that's very good. If we keep doing this, we're just going to get to a point where there is no return. So to enthuse people, I think that's the magic thing. What can we do? I just tell them the truth. I tell people that we can make change, and this is how, and they actually get excited. So I would love advice on how we can do it better, but that's the only thing I know to do at this point.
So, you know, you have so many great chapters in this book. It's really an easy read, I think, and one on management qualifications. You know, we sort of lost that. I mean, and I think, Tricia, this is part of probably in your question, inherently in your question, is that there's so much spin going on. And there's so many attack ads against other candidates, whether it's the same party these days or different parties, that it's sort of hard to know. And they stay away from their qualifications. Now, it's interesting because some of the politicians, well, their qualifications are their politicians. I mean, that doesn't really say much, I don't think. And then there's other people that have actually done stuff in the world. I mean, I'm not necessarily referring to anyone specifically, but is it better then, Sean, to try to get people, different politicians that are not politicians engaged, that actually have balanced budgets, have expanded business, have created jobs? You know, there's a lot of people out there in the business sector or other sectors that actually have done stuff. However, they're afraid to go in politics because of the smear tactics. And how do you get rid of that?
Yeah, that's a these are all the big questions. And I think absolutely we need people that have gotten things done in the private sector. I think a career politician, maybe they're not I don't know. They might have some good qualities and maybe some have done well, but I the way the Constitution was put together, the way the country was put together, is that our representatives go off and represent us, and the representatives are supposed to be from our community. We weren't necessarily supposed to have these guys who were in there for 50 years. We, as the citizens, we, the other guy, the people who go represent us are also we. We're all the same. So we need to go to Washington, take our turn, and hopefully we've actually done something in life. We would like to pick those guys or gals, and they go and they actually do something good. But I'll tell you, I'm stepping back even from that. I think right now we need a major disruptor in our country. We need to disrupt what's going on in Congress. And my idea of you don't have to worry about the qualifications of the other person. You don't even need to worry about what party. If you're not happy with what's going on in Washington, you actually just vote the other person in, someone new. We need to disrupt what's going on. We can't keep doing the same thing. So you go in, incumbent out, new guy in, give him 2 years to give it a shot. Because the problem I have is politicians can say whatever they want to get in. And then when they get in, do they actually perform? So what I'm looking for is, what's performance? After 2 years, have you performed as a body, not necessarily that exact person, but as a body of Congress, have you performed? If that body did not perform, let's get rid of them and put in a new body and let's see if they can perform. Because I think eventually they're going to get that if they don't actually answer to us and answer to what we need in the country, they know they're going to be out. And I'll just one last thing is, as far as surveys go, about 9%, 10% of the country feel that Congress is doing a good or excellent job. And when you live in a country that's based on democratic principles, it should be closer to 50. So we're at 9 or 10 think Congress is doing a good or excellent job. It doesn't make sense to me. It feels like we've lost control of our government, and really not. We just get rid of them and put in new guys. It's so simple that it's almost easily overlooked, but that's honestly what I think we need to do to disrupt what's going on in D.C.
That totally makes sense. Let's take a quick break now, Sean, and then when we come back, we have another segment talking with you, and we are talking with the author of How to Press America's Reset Button, Sean Burke. He's traveling all over the country presenting his message to, hey, it's simpler than we think to get some of the people in Washington out that are not performing. This is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.